Turtledove. I'm a fellow who writes alternate history and historically based fantasy, other science fiction, straight historical fiction.
This is a continuing episode of a series with master of alternate history, Harry Turtledove.
I mean, the book that let me quit my day job is The Guns of the South, obviously, which is the one with Robert E. Lee holding an AK-47 on the cover. It was not a book I intended to write. I got to write Guns of the South because I am friends with a fine fantasy writer named Judith Tarr. I have been for many years. We even collaborated once. And Judy... This was in the days before either one of us had email, so we would write back and forth. This was late 80s. Judy was complaining, as authors will, that she did not like the cover art for an upcoming book of hers. She said, "This is as anachronistic as Robert E. Lee holding an Uzi, for Christ's sake." With that, I thought, that's a good line, Judy. And I wrote my answering letter, and I printed it out. And at the bottom of the letter, I added a hand-scrawled P.S. Who'd want to give Robert E. Lee an Uzi? Time-traveling South Africans, maybe? If I write it, I'll give you an acknowledgement. And I looked at that, and I thought, I can do something with that. And before I mailed the letter, I Xeroxed the last page to make sure I didn't lose the idea. And I ended up writing it. Yeah, you know, so there's that one.
That's cool.
And a book where I had the idea like 15 years before I started writing it was the World War series, which you mentioned, where the aliens invade in 1942. You know, what touched that off was the thought that if you've got an industrialized planet, it may not be as easy to conquer from space as might be first thought, especially if the people who are trying to do the conquering don't want to trash it in the process. And when I got the idea, I also had an accurate suspicion that I was not nearly enough of a writer to do it yet. So I spent a lot of years doing homework, because especially then, it was in that most dangerous time, the time when other people can remember the period you're writing about and you can't. So they know the kind of idiot you're being.
Right. There's a little pressure there.
Yeah, no pressure at all. And so I ended up writing it. And in between time, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do with this was to have a brain trust of science fiction writers advising people, you know, how do we deal with these aliens? And before I started writing, Larry Niven and Jerry Purnell wrote Footfall, which had exactly that device in it. And I got to tell them, damn it, you people stole my idea. Of course, they didn't. They, you know, they had it, and they used it first, which is fine. I did the next best thing. I had one of my characters be a lifelong science fiction reader anyway, and he has some important things to do because of that. And the other series that I'd like to talk about for alternate history is the sequence that starts with How Few Remain. It's another alternate history where the Confederacy won the Civil War. When I told my eldest daughter what I was doing with this, she was 11 or 12 at the time. I said, well, this is another history, you know, It's different from Guns of the South, but it's Where the South Wins the Civil War. And she looked at me and she said, again?
Right.
I laugh now. And it, you know, carries the world of a victorious Confederacy that's aligned with England and France, and a defeated, resentful United States that ends up aligning with England and France's continental rival, the Empire of the Rising Empire of Germany, with the consequence that when 1914 rolls around on both sides of the Atlantic.
Oh, interesting.
So we have World War One on the North American continent, and then traces the events that follow from that. And in the series, I talk just a little bit, you might say, you know, in the Euchre sense of just a bit outside about race and about fascism and about the rise of fascism. And I was doing this stuff in the 1990s and the aughts, and I kind of resent, you know, my pinned tweet on Twitter is, I didn't mean to be topical. 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 I say that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it is altogether too painfully true these days.
What was the title of the aliens that are invading during the middle of the second one?
The first one is World War in the Balance. The second one is Tilting the Balance. The third one is Upsetting the Balance. And the last one is Striking the Balance.
Okay. That sounds like four books, I think, is what I heard there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are four more in the universe that take place anywhere from a generation to two generations later on.
Wow. All right.
Those are the first four.
And you probably have a blog or a website I could...
I mostly use Twitter for that. I do, you know, I don't spend all my time there, you know, screaming at Trumpies, you know, if you want to hear what's going on with me and the family and, you know, and see cat pictures and all that good stuff, because there are three cats here to annoy us. they think there are three humans here to annoy us.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's probably true.
Yes, you know, they're cats after all.
Yeah, right. Do you think your readership demographic ever... Do you have a lot of readers in the South, do you think? Because you have a lot of Confederacy alternate history.
I have heard, I can't prove it, that when Guns of the South came out in some Southern bookstores, it was filed under history. I can't prove that, but I've heard it more than once.
Yeah.
There are people... I occasionally have someone on Twitter telling me, I'm going to burn all your books because you're a damn liberal. And I say, okay, fine, you already bought them. Go ahead. Be my guest. I don't care.
You may have to buy some more later when you want to, you know, share it or something.
Yeah, I would burn those too.
That's interesting. You probably have some ability to be cross the divide, if you will, readership. I don't know how much, but you know, you have some there, because there's going to be people in the South that are attracted to Confederate.
There have been some. It's interesting. After I wrote Guns, I got invited to a dinner in Kentucky, staged by, I think the title of the organization was the Loyal Order of the Stars and Bars, something like that. I'm probably getting it wrong. This was 30 years ago. You know, they were very nice to me, and they gave me a check for coming out. And, you know, all right, yeah, okay. And dinner was black tie or Confederate uniform.
Oh, wow.
And I don't do Confederate gray. It reminds me too much of Feldgrau. But I was there, and I made my little speech and thanked them. And one very nice gentleman, and they were all very nice to me, even though I felt as though my politics compared to theirs. I was somewhere between Teddy Kennedy and Leon Trotsky, if you know what I mean. You know, one nice fellow in the uniform of a Confederate doctor, I recognized the green sash, which is what they wore to show what they were, told me that he was glad that I had not shown the South as a racist society, and I was, you know, I was a guest there. I didn't say what I was thinking. You know, you can't win them all. You just can't, because readers bring their own preconceptions to what you write. You know, that's just one of the things that happens. And the only African American person there was one of the waiters. I didn't have the nerve to ask him what he thought of the gathering, because I mean, I was part of the show myself, you know. Right. I just didn't.
This all sounds a little bit like Django, or isn't that the name of that movie?
Yeah. Django Unchained. I know. Yeah.
Because they had a dinner party there too. And everybody's being very polite about what they're going to say for.
Okay. You know, I mean, you know, everybody was very nice. It's just, we were not the same.
Yeah. When a reader like that reads your book, what cognitive dissonances are you creating, if any?
Well, I didn't create enough in that particular, you know, obviously. You know, as I say, entertainment, you have to entertain first. Once you entertain, you try to make them think. And I made him think, but he didn't think in the direction that I hoped he'd think. So these things, you know, these things are going to happen.
Yeah. I once had a conversation with author Seth McAvoy about Dahlgren, for, you know, and he was telling me how in the 70s, when a lot of people were reading the book, he said you could kind of tell people's political biases by when they stopped reading Dahlgren. And he said there was this particular fellow who must have been a really fan of the book or the writing, because he was pretty conservative, and he'd somehow in his head, through the conversation, the fellow realized this reader had in his head switched the sex of the one of the characters in order for it not to be a gay sex scene, so that he could could accept the writing.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's going on there quite quickly. I read that one right after it came out. There was a specialty store here, and I snapped it up. I mean, look, Chip is one of the two or three best writers, just as writers, that this field has ever produced. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Right. And so readers will make up, if they really are into it, they will adjust their mental, what they're absorbing, I suppose, in many strange ways.
That is an interesting adjustment.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if he got all the way through or not. I don't recall the conversation, but it was the fellow was thinking, like, I couldn't believe what he was telling me. He says, he didn't realize this, what was happening in that scene. Oh, boy. He thought it was heterosexual sex.
You just have to turn the other cheek and go on. Hi, I'm Harry Turtledove. I'm a fellow who writes alternate history and historically based fantasy, other science fiction, straight historical fiction, and what you ought to all do right now is run right out and buy some books of mine. That would be wonderful.
Check out the show notes, because that's where we keep the good stuff. That content will show up right in your podcast player, so you just tap on links to things about Harry, such as his Twitter, such as how to pick up his alternate history books. What are our show notes? They show up right in your podcast player for easy tapping. If you downloaded this MP3 from a webpage, that webpage has the show notes there. The series started at episode 287. So if you're like my friend Dave and you missed the first episode, go to scifithoughts.space and you will find a search box, and you can type in episode 286 or anything else you care to search for in our show archive. This is the last episode of the series, but if you want to find the series page, which has them all collected in one spot, go to your favorite search engine and type in Sci-Fi Thoughts Harry Turtledove, and it will take you to the series page.